Hey man, check this out. This husband and wife, they weren't getting along very lately. And ladies, what do we husbands do sometimes when things are a little tense? What do? We try to lighten it up with a little joke, right? Does it ever work? Typically, no. But anyway, that's what this guy's doing, not getting along. So he decides to lighten his wife up a little bit. And he says, hey, honey, how many women does it take to screw in a light bulb? Oh, yeah. And so without even batting an eye, his wife immediately goes in this tirade and she goes, you want to know? You want to know how many women it takes to screw in a light bulb? I'll tell you, mister, one. One. And you want to know why it takes only one? Because no one in this house knows how to change a light bulb. They don't even know the light bulb's been burned out. In fact, they've been in this house for 3 days before anybody even figured it out. And then once they figured it out, they wouldn't even be able to find the light bulbs, even though they've been in the same cupboard for the last 17 years. But if they did, by some miracle, actually find the light bulbs, 2 days later, the chair that they dragged from the other room to stand to change the stupid light bulb would still be in the same spot, and underneath it would be the crumpled wrapper that the stupid light bulbs came in. Why? I'll tell you why. Because no one ever cleans this house. They never take out the garbage. Why, it's a wonder that we haven't even been suffocated from the piles of garbage 12 feet deep throughout the entire house. And speaking of this house, it would take an army to clean this place. And I'm sorry, what'd you ask me? And the husband said, never mind. Yeah. How many guys would say that ladies are a little stressed in her marriage there, a little giveaway there? Right? Okay. And let's be honest, sometimes marriage can be a little stressful, right? I guess that's why one guy said this, the honeymoon? Honeymoon, that's that period between I do and you better, right? Okay. And as we've been seeing, wait a second, marriage came from God. Is this the kind of relationship that God had in mind when he instituted back in the Garden of Eden? No. Now, what we got to acknowledge is that Adam and Eve blew it for the chances of a perfect marriage. Okay, but the good news is, even though we can't have a perfect marriage this side of heaven, okay, then that doesn't mean that we got to resign ourselves to a life of personal pain and silent suffering. God never said it'd be easy, okay? He just said it's going to take some time. It's going to take some work, okay? And contrary to what society says, marriages aren't made in heaven. They're made right here on earth. And I'm telling you, folks, if you don't get this, you are not going to know how to deal with this kind of behavior after you get married. Watch this.
Sometimes my wife gets mad at me for behaving wrong in her dreams. That ain't fair. I had a horrible dream last night. You want to hear about it? No, I'm going to tell you anyway. A grizzly bear was chasing me through the woods with his teeth. He was going to eat me. And you did nothing. You just sat there and you didn't do a thing. What was I doing? You were playing poker with a rabbit. That's what you were doing. And that's the thing. You would do something like that. You would play poker with a rabbit while I was being eaten by a bear. Luckily, a giant unicorn came and saved me with his laser horn. That's how I got saved, not by you.
We laugh because what? Man, that's true, okay? And this is why we're going to continue to say a marriage built to last. Men, how many guys would like to have a marriage built to last? Raise your hand. Easiest way to score points, praise God. Ladies, how many of you would like to have a marriage built to last? Raise your hand. Praise God. All three of you. Praise God. We'll give you another week. Okay? And so far, we've been seeing in our study, the first thing we got to acknowledge, if you're going to have that marriage built to last, doing it God's way, that's how it happens, is acknowledging that men and women are different. The second thing we saw was that love, biblical love, the love that will hold your marriage together all the way till the end, till death do us part, is love is what? An action. Agapao. It's a verb, self-sacrificial action. Then we balanced it out. Okay? Last time we saw, the third one is the need for romance. And there we saw, listen, hey, ma'am, you don't just need to romance each other before you got married and then turn the spigot off. No, you need to romance each other afterwards. Why? Because that's what happens. After you get married, man, that natural romance that you had that led to you getting married, it just dries up. In fact, it turns into something like this. That's true, man. We laugh because it's like, man, every single one of us went through this. What happened, right? Okay? And because of this, marriages, they turn into a passionless existence. Again, love, biblical love holds you together, but that doesn't mean it's nice to have passion once in a while, okay? So the antidote we saw was to get back to the biblical principles of filling each other's love tank. We saw that in the Song of Solomon, the passionate couple, that was the example, and they gave us five different ways to do that. You can do that with special gifts or quality time, a positive word, acts of service, or physical touch. But we saw at the very end, if you were here, you can't take nothing for granted. You, right? And sometimes the love tank changes after you've been married for a while. So you need to communicate. You got to be specific. Okay, what works for you? Okay, like this guy shares.
So I want to help you ladies with questions you have. Anything you might have. Something about a man that throws you off. Something about your man that drives you crazy. I'll fix it in 13 seconds. You don't need no long counseling. Any woman, somebody, man, make you mad. Anything, something. Shout it out. Shout it. Be romantic. What does that mean? You got to be specific with a man. I don't know what you're talking about. Be romantic. What? Fix the screen door? What? What do you want me to do? I want romance. I want romance. What? Hold your hand? What? Then say it. Look at your man. Hold my hand. Ah, I got it. Now you finally got what you're looking for. I want romance. Could you read those books? How to make love last forever. How to have romance forever. Too much work. Just say what you want. You got a man always forget your birthday? Forget that. Buy yourself a car. Look what you got me. He'll remember next year. I'll never forget your birthday again. That one cost me a lot of money.
So again, be specific, right? Don't take it for granted. It might have changed, but don't assume they might. Just tell them, be specific, which of those love tanks work for you. And the reason why is because when you do, the passion begins to return. Why? Because we saw the rule was what? Don't wait until you feel romantic to begin to romance your spouse, because you'll probably never do it, especially if it's been a while. What's the rule? Passionate feelings follow acts of romance. So just get back to that, and you'll see it begin to start again. And the cool thing was, I kid you not, several of you guys left here last week, immediately put into action. And fortunately, one of the wives actually recorded it in secretly. And that has to do with David Akers. Yeah. Watch this. He's on film, folks.
Julie, making me feel guilty. I mean, teaching us how to work on marriages. Here is some gift of love and affirmation stuff, too.
What's my affirmation?
What's
my affirmation? Words of affirmation.
Your garden is beautiful. Green in the desert.
One more.
I love your new hair color. You made this great. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for David and Arlie Show, live from Vegas. That's right. And I'm not joking, man. He even showed up with flowers, had him here in the first service. This guy's getting into it, right? So again, this is the good news. Listen. It's not just a marriage built to last, but if you want a little passion back in your marriage, then get back to the need for romance. Don't shut the spigot off. Keep it going, right, after your marriage. But I'm still preaching on, so guess what? There's got to be more. That's right, Corky. There's got to be more, and there is. The fourth step we need to acknowledge if you're going to have a marriage built to last is the need for communication. What? Now we're going to talk to each other? Yes. Yes, it's really good, right? And it's a biblical concept, because if you don't learn how to communicate, it's not just talking. There's these, we're going to see in the next several studies, Lord willing, several nuances of how to communicate. If you get them wrong, not going to work out well, including the biblical example we see here, right? These people were experiencing what I call communication breakdown, and it didn't just affect them, it affected the people around them. But this is our biblical example, Philippians chapter 4. We're just going to read the first three verses. As Paul brings out a little thing. We probably read this how many times? We just kind of skip over. But what was going on in this situation? Well, they needed to learn to communicate better, right? It's a biblical principle. What a concept, okay? But Philippians chapter 4, as we stand and read God's holy word, simply says this. And Paul says this, I plead. Now what is that? The Greek word is literally like, I urge you. I mean, this is serious. Don't dilly-dally around and say, maybe sometime later. No, don't delay. I plead with you. I urge you, please. What? And he says this, I plead with Euodia, and then I also plead with Syntyche. To what? To agree with each other in the Lord. And yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, Okay, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. You may be seated if you can, just a short verse, but in here, you see what's going on. Paul is desperately pleading with these two Christians, you've got to communicate. I plead with you. I urge you. You've got to come back together in agreement. Why? Because they were experiencing communication breakdown. And when there's communication breakdown, there's friction. There's problems. There's division. It's not good. And in fact, it got so bad that they couldn't even handle it on their own. And Paul was asking other people to intervene, help them communicate, come back together again with the Lord. Why? It didn't just affect them. It affected the gospel and it affected the church. Okay? Communication, folks, is huge. And it works like this. It's common sense, right? You cannot have a healthy relationship without communication. And that's across the board. Certainly in marriage. Right? You got to be able to communicate. You got to talk, right? It's just common sense. And so here's the point. It's just like that romance thing. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but like before we saw last week, before we got married, romance, pff, natural, tons of it, whatever. And that led to us getting married. You get married, pff, shut the spigot off. Communication, same thing, man. Before we got married, man, we communicate all over the place. We communicate nonstop. Nobody had to make us. I mean, for hours. And then we get into those goofball, you're an hour on the phone, you've literally run out of things to say, but you still ain't hanging up because you just wanted to talk to each other, and you're saying goofball stuff like this. Hey, so what are you doing? Nothing. Yeah, me too. Yeah. So what are you doing now? I'm looking at the wall. Hey, me too. So what color is the wall? It's white. Mine too. Oh, we're destined to be together. We talk about nothing. But here's the point. After we get married, you start to cry like that. Because what happens is, for some reason, that normal communication that we had abundant supply just kind of dries up. And when that happens, man, you are headed for serious troubles. Like this couple, watch this. This judge, he was interviewing this woman regarding a pending divorce. And he asked her, hey, what are the grounds for your divorce? And she replied, oh, about 4 acres. In a nice little home in the middle of the property, there's a stream running by. He goes, no, no. He said, oh, I mean, what is the foundation of this case? She goes, well, it's made of concrete, brick, and mortar. He goes, no, I mean, what are your relations like? She goes, well, I have an aunt and uncle living here in town, and so does my husband. He's starting to get frustrated, and he says, listen, do you have a real grudge? She goes, no. We have a two-car carport, and we've never really had a need for one. He goes, please, come, listen, is there any infidelity in your marriage? She goes, yeah, yeah. There is. Both my son and daughter have stereos. And we don't necessarily like the music, but to answer your question is yes. So now he's getting impatient. He says, listen, ma'am, does your husband ever beat you up? She goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, he does. About twice a week, he gets up earlier than I do. And so finally, the judge, he says, lady, why do you want a divorce? And she goes, oh, I don't want a divorce. I never wanted a divorce. My husband does. He says he can't communicate with me.
Nervous laughter gives it away.
It's true. It happens, man. Sometimes problems persist in marriage, not because the couples aren't communicating. Sometimes they are, desperately so. But they're doing things wrong, and it leads to communication breakdown. And you never get past first base to solve it. And so we're going to take a look at some communication techniques that we need to consider. They sound very basic, but I'm telling you, we break them all the time, and you wonder why we get nowhere. You're going to have problems in marriage. This is not heaven. Heaven comes later. It's okay. Welcome to the club. Turn to somebody and say, you got problems, right? Everybody's got problems, right? Right? And see, I don't even have time to get into this. Sometimes couples will do the comparison game.
Yeah, I went to Sunrise, and look at everybody. They're all happy. They've got great marriages, great kids, not us. Are you kidding me? Everybody's got problems,
right? Some different, whatever. But that's don't do the comparison thing. Communicate. Again, but we communicate, but we're doing things wrong, and it messes things up. And you're going to need to communicate. It's okay. You'll work through, if you communicate, you'll work through the problems and then keep moving forward. Okay? But again, there's several things we do that messes it up, and they sound basic, but again, we need to learn it. The first one, if you're going to avoid communication breakdown, you need to give each other some what? Some time. Now, doesn't that sound obvious? Yeah, but we don't do it. We don't do it very well, and it leads to communication breakdown. And believe it or not, all these, of course, are a biblical principle. And this is what we see in Ecclesiastes, the same writer as we saw last week, Song of Solomon, Okay? Here's what he now shares with here. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 2 and 3 through 7. There's that time for what? Everything. What's that mean? Everything. Okay? And a season for every activity under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die. How many of you guys are going to make that the last thing you do? Okay, praise God, all three of you. Okay, and a time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to stop eating chicken and a time... Oh, I'm sorry. Crone trend. You know I had to throw that in there. Okay, and a time to uproot. A time to tear down and a what? A time to build. A time to tear and a time to mend. Watch this. A time to be silent, but what? It's going to come a time to speak. And it's going to happen, folks, in your marriage. There's seasons you go through in life, right? Or you're going to have some challenges, but it's okay. You're going to need to speak up. There's going to come a time you need to speak up, okay? But if we're honest with ourselves, especially if we've been a while since we really communicated through some challenges and we let them stack up, now we're scared. We're scared to do it because we don't know what to say. We don't know how to say it without starting another argument, right? And dare I say, some of us are looking for an easy route, like an app. You know, they say there's an app for everything. Well, there's not an app for this, even though it would be cool. Like what this guy shares. Watch this.
There was something like that for me and my wife texting. So I would get her text in the language that I like, and then she gets the text in the language that she likes. For example, she went to get tea yesterday. So she was like, hey, I know I said I'm going to be 20 minutes, but I'm going to be like an hour because here's what happened. I went to Trader Joe's, and I wanted to get hibiscus tea. But the hibiscus that they have over there is mixed with turmeric. And I'm allergic to turmeric. So I was like, oh my, it's so humid. And now I have to walk to Whole Foods. So I went to Whole Foods. And I finally found that it was all the way in the top shelf. But there was a really kind guy who helped me. And then I was in line, long line. But anyway, there was an old lady. And she loved my skirt. And I was like, I have a new friend. And like, I'm so happy because this is the perfect day to make a new friend and drink some tea. And I wish that she could send that text. And then the app would just go beep, 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 boop. And then it would get to me, be like, I bought tea. and then I would reply, cool. And then it would go on the app, boop, 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 boop. And then it would get to her and be like, hibiscus, a flower. It makes me think that you and I should go to a flower festival. So we could walk today, all day, together, and be happy and talk about how much we love each other and how much we miss each other. And I would love to keep texting. However, my battery and my phone is as empty as my heart when I'm not with you.
Now, if there was an app that could do that, how many guys would download that, baby? Yeah. All the men's hand went up, except for Wayne. We'll talk about that later. But again, guess what? There is no, you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. There is no app. There's not an app for this. But there's hope. If you do it God's way, the biblical way, you'll work through the situation, okay, to communicate. But there's some things you need to understand about giving each other some time, okay, if it's going to be effective. And the first thing is sometimes you need time to give your spouse time to cool off. Time to cool off, okay? Sometimes, okay, I'm not saying let it go on for hours or days. No. But sometimes you might need to give them a couple minutes, right? Before you initiate conversation, especially, hello, if they're in a bad mood. Like this guy, watch this. One guy decided to buy his wife a mood ring so he could figure out the best time to talk to her. Makes sense. That's what guys do. We conquer this thing if that's the last thing we do. So he buys her a mood ring, and hey, hello, sure enough, in no time, he was able to figure out that when she was in a good mood, it turned to green. And then when she was in a bad mood, it left a red mark right on his forehead right here. So, but... Man, trust me, you don't need to buy your wife a mood ring. to understand, does she need some time to cool down? There's some more obvious signs of that. And typically, it works both ways. You know, if throughout this study, you hear me say, well, men in general, women in general, sometimes it spills over to the other arena. So time to cool down isn't just for women, okay? But women, and I'll explain here in a second, typically men, we need to understand, they may need some extra time. And I'll explain why in a second. But again, and here's the reason why. It's a thing in Proverbs. Proverbs 18, 6 through 7. The lips of fools bring them what? Strife. Right? Careful what comes out of your mouth. Your mouth could bring good things, but if you're not careful with it, it's going to make things worse, i.e. strife. In fact, their mouths also of a fool invite what? A beating. Now it's getting really bad. Why? Because of your mouth. If you can't control your mouth, Proverbs says you're a fool. Their mouths of fools are their what? undoing. That's why your life is messed up. It's your mouth. And their lips are a snare to their very lives. And again, it works both ways, but let me hone in on the reason why sometimes, men, we need to pay attention when we're giving each other some time. It might be time to cool off specifically for our wives, okay? And this is what we saw before, is because the way that God has wired our brains, right? And so, as we saw, the firing order for women is what? You feel first. What comes first? Emotions. Any situation, anything, emotions are always at the top of the list. Then you act, so feelings. Then you act on the feelings. Then you think about it later. And so this is why sometimes, and then we saw, because ladies access both sides of the brain simultaneously, and it's hard for them to shut it off, and it's like that ball of wire or a hornet. So it's hard for that thing to calm down a little bit, right? So it would behoove you that if all of a sudden there's a situation, and then if she's showing signs that, hey, give me a couple minutes, give her a couple minutes. It doesn't mean that she doesn't want to. It just means... And I actually had Brandy tell me this the first year of marriage, because I was like, she's avoiding it. She's avoiding this. She's not. We need to communicate. We need to work through this situation. And I kid you not, one time she said, listen. She said, just give me a couple minutes, and I'll come back. She said, because right now, if you force me to speak, I'm probably going to say something I regret. I got it. I understood. Right? And I began to understand that, listen, sometimes that takes a little bit. And they don't want to be a fool and say something that's going to make it worse, to invite strife, right? To be the undoing, okay? But their feelings come first. That's why. So men, pay attention. If your wife is showing signs of not immediately wanting to communicate right away, then pay attention. It doesn't necessarily mean that she doesn't want to. It might mean she just needs a little bit of time, okay, before she's ready to engage in, right? So it doesn't turn into something foolish. And speaking of foolish, whatever you do during this time, don't do what this guy did, right? Watch this.
Like, one of the conflict resolution tools they teach in marriage is ask questions. When you have a disagreement, don't just start spewing out what you think, make it worse. Ask questions, try to relate, make it better. I used that last week. My wife and I got into a disagreement. It got hot, it got heated. We started a fight. I stopped myself right there. Start asking questions. Honey, why are you being a psycho right now?
Yeah, you're going to need to do the Karate Kid thing after you get a beating, but don't do that, okay? Just give them some time. Don't interject. Don't make it worse. Give them some time. They'll re-engage. Now, again, there's a caveat with everything. Guys, if she goes in that back bedroom and hides out for 5 hours, no, now she is ignoring, okay, avoiding, okay? If she splits the house and goes shopping for a half a day, no, you're avoiding. I'm just talking, you know, a few minutes right here. Just get, okay, before you, it's okay, be patient. And then engage. And they know this because they don't want to say something foolish with their mouth. So again, you got to give some time sometimes to cool off, okay? And again, it works both ways. Sometimes maybe guys need to do that, you know. And things of that nature. Now, speaking of guys, again, this could be with ladies, but typically this is the more guy one. Ladies, sometimes you need time to cool down with emotions before you can engage. Guys, we need to be given some time to think. Ladies, this drives you up a wall. Because when we're thinking about something and we don't immediately respond, you assume we're ignoring you. Not true. Not true at all. All right? And again, it goes back to the firing order. What do we say? Ladies, what do? You feel first emotions, then you act on it, then you think about it. Guys, what do? Exact opposite. We think first. Not feelings. Think first. Then we act on those feelings, or act on what we were thinking, and then feelings might come down later, maybe 3 weeks down the road. Okay, typically. But our thing, yours is emotions, and sometimes need to calm down, but we need some time to think, because it's exactly what we're doing, right? It's kind of like, you guys, some of you younger kids are spoiled. Remember when the internet first came out, and we had those modems, and it made that weird noise, right? And you just had to wait for the thing to dial up to access information. Well, this is kind of like with guys, right? Is what we're doing. Watch it.
Do you want chicken or steak for dinner?
Huh? Steak.
Okay, steak it is.
Now, that's really what's going on. It's not that we're not listening. It's not that we're dumb. It's not that we're ignoring you. It goes back to the way our brains are wired. We're thinkers, right? And we got that nothing box. And so sometimes you need to give us time. We'll give you time to zzzz, and then we can engage. Sometimes you just need to let us have some time to think, because we're figuring out, okay, what box was that in that I'm going to respond, right? And to think it up, and you're waiting for the dial-up connection to get hit, right? It, like it or not, that's how we're wired, okay? You need to give us time to answer. Why? Because that's another biblical principle. Watch this. Proverbs 18:13. To answer before what? Listening. That's what? Good for you? Good for any relationship? Good for your marriage? No. It leads to what? Folly and shame. It's not a smart thing to do. So give him a chance to respond, even if it takes a little bit, okay? And ladies, I know it's frustrating, but don't assume that we're ignoring you. And again, there's always a caveat, just like with the ladies. If she goes, hides out, or goes shopping for 5 hours, no, now you're avoiding. Same thing with guys, right? You're giving some time to respond, because that's the way his brain's working. He's thinking about it. But, within at least 5 minutes, if he still isn't responding, you need to check his pulse. He might be dead, okay? Or the dial connection ain't working, or he's ignoring you, okay? So there's a caveat, but you might get a little bit of time, okay, before he responds, okay? In fact, I'm going to spill a guy's secret. Sometimes the reason why we are taking some time before we respond isn't just the nothing box. It's not just the dial-up connection thing. We're taking the time to do this. We're formulating a response. Watch this.
You know why guys need time to think before they answer your questions?
Well, first we have to realize you asked a question. Then we have to make sure we understood the question. Then we have to make sure the question's not a trap. Then we start formulating an answer. Then we have to figure out the best words to deliver the answer. Then we have to weigh the pros and cons of delivering the answer. Then we reevaluate, make sure the question's on a trap again, and then we deliver the answer. It's exhausting.
And all the men in the house said what? Amen. Amen. You know it's true, so it takes time to formulate. It's okay, right? Ladies, you got to give us the space for that, okay? But listen to this. I kid you not, I came across this week. It was brilliant. This is from a lady. And she had learned this the hard way. Watch what. She says, listen to this. And this is from her, ladies. Watch this. She said, when you're listening to a man and he pauses, this is her rule. Watch this. I know it's going to, you're going to say, you got to be kidding me. Watch this. She says, and when he pauses, when you're listening to him, count to 30. And we're like, okay, if I say this, she says this. Count to 30. Now watch this. She says, and he'll likely keep going. If you interrupt him, you're actually emasculating him, and you'll never hear what he truly has to say. She said this. I started practicing this. She said, and I would just be quiet. And I would be like, whoa, the things that he shares with me now. She said, it was like I've been missing out on this listening and really hearing him my entire marriage. It was an amazing thing. And she says this, because women, we know this. She says, we have this joy of just chatting, and it's so fulfilling, and it's fun, and it's got this kind of good kind of drama in about a man will want to share and tell you the truth. And it takes him time to tell you what is very real to him. So time, it's not just time. It's these little nuances. Sometimes it's time to cool down. Sometimes it's time to think. It's okay. Be patient. Don't interject, okay? But then that leads us to the third thing. Sometimes it's time to share. And you're going like, well, duh. Well, no, we get this one wrong too, okay? Many times when we finally give each other some time to think or time to cool down, when the person starts to engage after they cool down and thought about it, okay, we'll still mess it up because we do not allow them to share what they feel, and we cut them off. And granted, sometimes when they begin to share, maybe it wasn't what you were expecting. Like this couple, watch this.
A man has ruined a weekend away with his girlfriend by saying what he was thinking. Our reporter Emma Bradford is at the scene.
Martin Bishop and Eleanor Shaw had stopped at a cozy country pub after a romantic walk when Miss Shaw looked up meaningfully at Bishop and asked what he was thinking at that very moment. The weekend was about to go very wrong indeed.
I was hoping he would say, maybe this would be a great place to bring the kids one day. Or even something corny but sweet, like, I have everything I'll ever need right here.
And what did you say, Martin?
I said, pigs are much bigger than you expect. One of them was so big you could ride it.
More from us later.
Sometimes they're going to say something that you're not expecting it, or not what you wanted to hear, right? That happens all the time, because again, it's back to the way our brains are wired, right? Okay, but it's okay, right? You got to let the person, again, you say, oh, curse, we're going to share. No, listen, you got to let them share what's on their mind, even if it's not what you were expecting. Now, there's a couple of reasons. I'm going to break that down even further. The first thing is, don't interrupt the person every 5 seconds. You wouldn't want that done to you. You're finally, you're giving some time to cool off, time to think about it. You're finally getting it out, and then all of a sudden, interrupt. Come on. Don't do that, right? As this lady shares, watch this.
Many women have said to me, my husband won't open up, or how can I get him to talk to me? And then I ask these questions. Do you interrupt him when he does talk? Do you finish his sentences? Do you give him eye contact when he talks to you? Or are you busy doing dishes or folding laundry or scrolling on your phone, multitasking? When he tells you about an idea he has, do you tell him a better way or I have a better idea or scold him for even thinking such a thing? These are just some of the things that will cause a man to shut down and stop talking.
Why? Because it's just constant interruption. I can't even, and then you shoot me down. And by the way, it works both ways. Husbands can do this too to your wives and shut them down. And it's very, very frustrating. Don't interrupt. Okay, now, there's the other extreme. That's just constant interruption. Well, when you start sharing, okay, man, whatever you do, don't babble on and on and on and on. It's like, I heard you the first time. Come on. How many times? Like this guy shares. Watch this.
Man. Sorry. Woman.
You can't even say when you don't like me anymore, but you don't like me. You can't always see you.
How many guys would say that guy's probably single? Yeah, whatever. But no, it's true. We let it. And again, guys can do the same thing. But again, this is what's going on. But seriously, it's come on, man. And again, guys can do this too. But it's just like, I heard you the first time. You don't have to say it 15 different ways, right? Or just get to the point. It's like you could say, hey, honey, bring the dish. And you're off over here with a whole historical perspective. And it's like, well, no, just get to the point. Now, believe it or not, this is a biblical principle that you're warned against doing. In communication. And this actually comes from Jesus. Watch this. I love this passage. Matthew 6:7. And when you pray, right? Prayer is what? That's a form of communication in the context to God. So you're communicating. When you pray, do not keep what? Babbling like the pagans. Now there's kind of a cool thing going on in the Greek here. Babbling is the Greek word barbar. And it's where we get the word barbarians from. And the reason why they call them barbars or barbarians is because they couldn't understand their gibberish. And that's what it sounded like to them. Bar, 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 bar. And so that's what he's saying. Don't do that. Why? Because that's what the pagans do. And listen, for they think that they will be heard because of what? There are many words. See, the more I tell them in different ways and different angle, then that's when it'll work out. They'll finally get my point. No, that'll make it worse. You're just going on and on. Get to the point, right? The words of babbling literally means meaningless repetition, repeating the same thing over and over again. Listen, Jesus said that's not only something the pagans do, but in this context, it's offensive to God. It's supposed to come from the heart, not just babbling on and on, this mindless gibber. No. And can I tell you something? Constantly babbling on and on is offensive to your spouse. And let's be honest, you don't want that done to you. So don't do it to your spouse. Meaningless repetition, babbling on and on. You heard it the first time, right? It's not good. One guy shares this. He says, listen, this is to his coworker. He says, listen, I don't know how to say this, but I haven't spoken to my wife for 18 months. And so obviously his coworker says, well, why not? He says, I don't like to interrupt her. Men, look straight ahead. Don't move. Don't move. Wayne, just look at the curtain, bro. Look at the curtain. Do the mannequin man we saw from last time. Right? But here's the danger. Now, either spouse, when you keep going on and on and on, then your relationship goes into one of these two modes. Number one, you keep babbling on and on, you keep that up, they are going to want to get away from you every time you come in the room, right? Like this guy shares. Watch this.
When men go silent, what are they really thinking about?
Leave me alone, please leave me alone.
Leave me alone, please leave me alone.
All the men now, come on. Leave me alone. Yeah, you chickens, leave me up here to do the dirty work. You know it's true. Yeah. Why? And again, it works both ways. I don't want to be around you because here you come again. Or the other one, maybe they don't leave the room. Leave me. But maybe they're in the room, but you know what they do? You hear this all the time in marriages. They tune you out. Like what? Like this couple went through. Watch this.
One last adjustment. You got it. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Can you hear the sound of your own voice?
Yeah.
Oh, baby. Dustin, thank you so much. We're so excited. Thanksgiving's in 2 days, and I can call you on your cell phone now, baby. And you can talk to my dad about his
Whoa. Are you okay? Is that too loud?
No, not too loud. The boy that's annoying. You don't hear that? I have to hear forever? There we go again, Doc. You know why this guy's smiling? Because he's probably deaf and he can't hear his wife's voice. Doc, please take it off. Effie, please.
Relax.
It sounds like when you take a helium balloon and you let the air out like that and go.
I laughed so hard at that this week. But men, I have the liberty to do that because my wife is literally out of town. I'm not joking. And you don't have that liberty. Wayne, I'm telling you, look at the curtain, dude. Just stare ahead, straight ahead. Don't get too crazy. It's going to... Raymond, where's Raymond? But no. But seriously, that's what will happen. You keep going on and on and on. They either leave me alone, leave me alone. You know, they're just going to want to not be around you. Or they'll be there, but they will literally tune you out. And again, it works both ways. It's all because you're beating a dead horse into the ground, as we would say. Get to the point. You don't need to go on and on. So again, you wouldn't want that done to you. The other person will never get their side in, so don't do it. Give each other some time, time to cool off, time to think, time to share. Don't babble on and on. Don't interrupt every 5 seconds because it's not what you want to hear, or dare I say, you're just not really even listening. You're waiting for them to finish their thing just so you can respond. Come on. That's what fools do. Don't do that. Now, the second thing is provide some clarity. And this is something that I've learned a lot over the years, and certainly in marital counseling. And I think that sometimes couples, again, their problems continue to persist, not because the couple's not communicating. Oftentimes they are big time. They're trying big time, desperately so. But they're doing it wrong. And maybe they're giving each other some time. Maybe they're giving each other time to share and cool off and all that stuff. And they're doing that part. But what happens is even when they start to share, the other person just simply doesn't get it. It doesn't mean that they don't care. It doesn't mean that they're not listening. They're not getting it. And so you need to provide some clarity once in a while. Because this is common. How many times do we run into this? Not just in marriages, but men and women in general. They say something, it just doesn't compute. And normal communication, it happens all the time, right? Like what happened with this guy. Watch this.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Okay. Cheltenham, Pennsylvania.
That's right.
Yeah. Born?
No, I'm originally from North South Carolina.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know too many people from Cheltenham talk like that.
Well, I lived over 25 years down south.
What was the name of the place?
North.
Noweth?
No. N-O-R-T-H. Noweth. It's in South Carolina. In South Carolina, there's a little town called Due West. And Noweth...
Oh, wait, slow down. In what, North Carolina?
No, South Carolina. In South Carolina, there's a little town called Due West. and north is 90 miles southeast of Due West. It's fine.
It's true.
It's north is south of the capital, Columbia. You understand?
I was doing fine until you came out here. And then you started talking, I got lost. And I'm not in the car, and I didn't care to go anywhere. Now you have me someplace, I have no idea where I am. I'm in the town north, south of Due West.
Where am I? It's North, South Carolina.
I'm North. South Carolina.
North comma, South Carolina.
I'm North comma is the name.
No, you put a comma in between North and South Carolina.
I'm in the state of South Carolina.
Right, right.
But I'm in the city called North.
It's not a city, it's a town.
A town. Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Where is the railroad?
Right in the middle of the town.
That's right. Now stop
and,
there.
And one,
now
one,
where are the black people?
I don't know. I mean, they're all around, I guess.
They're not all around. They're either on this side of the track or that side of the track. Are we due north or southwest?
You're in north.
I'm in north.
Right, South Carolina.
Here we go again.
Anyway.
No, there's no anyway. I'm sitting in my car and I'm lost.
Oh.
I want to find my people. And you're trying to give me directions. Now, I want, okay, let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Where's the river?
Which river?
Is there an East River?
I don't know.
Is there a West River?
I don't even know where the river is.
Just normal conversation can get messed up. It's very, very easy, as you can see there, okay? And guess what? And so sometimes you're desperately communicating with each other, but you're missing it. Not because you don't care, not because you're not listening, okay? It's just you're not getting it. You're not understanding. So you got to provide some clarity. And I'm telling you, this is very important. Watch this. 90% of all criminals have difficulty communicating with other people. 90%, right? 60% of all management problems are a result of faulty communication. And half of all divorces result from faulty communication between spouses. And I'm here to tell you, folks, sometimes I've learned that marriage problems, they persist not so much because the husband and wife aren't communicating. Sometimes they are, desperately so, but the other person just simply doesn't get it. So you need to provide some clarity. And I want to give you one method that's actually biblical to do that. And they will get it, and it will lock in their brain. They will not forget it. Now, it's what's called word pictures. And you see word pictures actually in the scripture all over the place, Old and New Testament. Let me give you an example. This is one from the Old Testament, right? David, Psalm chapter 2, verse 1, he says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, the context there, if you've ever been over there, is in the desert. And we know that here in Las Vegas. You're covered. And so he's bringing out this picture. As the deer pants for streams of water, what's it really all about? He's just using that as an example. So I long for you, oh God. He didn't just say, I long for you. What did he use? He's used what is called a word picture. He uses a word picture, this case of a deer in the middle of the desert, just panting. Can't wait to get out of spring. I just so thirsty. And he said, that's how I long for you, God. That's my walk with you. And that's more effective, right? Just saying, I long for God. No. And so it's a word picture. Now, that's just the Old Testament. Let me give you an example to balance it out in the New Testament. Paul does these all the time. This is Philippians 3:14. I strain, Paul says, to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. And so again, Paul could say, hey, you know, I'm working for the Lord. Well, that's not very effective. And he uses a word picture of an athlete, which everybody got back then, especially with the Olympics and whatever. In fact, if it's the same Greek word, to strain, it's agonizomai, where we get agonized, and it's just like, oh, and so it means with all your might, right? You're a runner. Man, I'm going, I'm finish line. I see the finish line. The closer you get to the finish line, what do you do? Slow down? Sitting on a bench? No, you go even faster, and I'm doing this. And why is he doing that? Why did he take the time to do that? Because it's very effective. And it shows us Paul's heart and his walk with God that he was doing everything he could, agonizing, running hard for Jesus because nothing's more important than making it to the finish line and pleasing our master. Amen?
Amen.
They're called word pictures. They're very effective. Now, here's why. Because what does is when you engage the word picture, it forces, listen, even men that usually primarily stay on one side of the brain, but a word picture forces you to access both sides, the emotion side. And then when it activates the emotion side, it literally, and they've done studies on this, it burns it into your brain. You will remember this because you took the time to do a word picture. One guy says, don't just tell them, show them, right? And so I'm going to do that. I'm not just like the romance thing. I'm not going to take it for granted. You know what to do. I'm going to break it down for you. I'm going to give you some unhealthy and a healthy example of a word picture. And you just got to get creative, right? For instance, here's not a very healthy one. Let's just randomly say you were trying to say this. Hey, Fred was a man with a very bad case of body odor. That's it. All right. Well, you'll pray for Fred. But in about 5 seconds, you're going to forget about Fred. Not a big deal. But if you phrase it like this, watch this. You engage the emotions. As Fred came walking down the country road, a herd of goats looked at him in utter fear and terror. And they all ran off into the field gagging and coughing. You'll probably talk about that on the way home. You're going to remember that, okay? And that's a humorous one. But again, I'm telling you, it really is effective. And sometimes if you're in that, you're giving each other some time to cool off, time to think, sharing. They start to share. You don't interrupt. You don't babble on and on. And then the other person looking like, that's a clue. All right, let me think about this for a second. And let me see if I can encapsulate it this way. Now, I'm going to share with you, in all seriousness, two word pictures from a husband and wife in counseling. They were encouraged to do this, and they're having conflict for a long time, and they just weren't getting it, okay? But each of them came up with a word picture to describe what they were feeling, and it made the major breakthrough, both of them. I'm going to start with the man. This is what he came up with, and he says this. He felt that his wife was being very critical, and every time, and he'd come home exhausted from a hard day's work. And she would always immediately jump his case as soon as he walked through the door and just nitpick him to death. So he came up with this word picture. He said, honey, remember Grandpa? He's engaged in the emotions. Remember Grandpa and his puppy that he loved and he was so gentle with? Well, sometimes I feel like that little dog in the backyard who was frisky and excited about life. And one day I happen to crawl underneath the fence to go explore. And when I'm out there in the woods, I get attacked by wild animals and I'm running out of food and water. And somehow I finally manage to make my way back and crawl back under the fence. And all I can think of is, yay, Grandpa, he's going to feed me. He's going to pet me. And so I charge up to the back door and I'm all excited. I put my paws on the door to let him know that I'm here and say, ah, there he is, Grandpa. But Grandpa throws open the screen door, picks up a twig and starts whacking me. In fact, he keeps on whacking me as he knocks me off the back porch. He chases me around the yard and with twig in hand. He's whacking me whack after whack after whack. He says, honey, sometimes I feel like that when I come home, you pick up a stick that you've already got prepared. And you whack me across the chest. You never spend time with me. Whack. When are you ever going to do this or that? Whack. And you keep on whacking me as I try to get away. And I wonder how long I can endure this. Whoa. Now that, in love, respectful, I got the point across. Here's what the wife shared. She felt abandoned by her husband. So she said this. She says, honey, it feels like that each day when you get up and go to work in which you love, you first meet for breakfast with people you like, and after eating, you put the extra food in a bag. And then at lunchtime, you go out with another group of people whose company you really enjoy, and afterwards, you put more food in another bag. And then after work, you stop off for dinner at a fancy restaurant with more people you love and enjoy a sumptuous meal and put even more food in another bag. And then you finally come home, and I've been looking forward all day to being with you and spending time together and sharing and talking, and you come through the door and say, hi, honey, and you hand me 3 doggy bags and go off and do whatever you do. And she said that so many evenings when you come home, I feel like all I ever get is leftovers and doggy bags And that's not the kind of relationship I always anticipated. Wow. True story. And when they put what they were trying to communicate into these word pictures, the good news is they not only got it, they took it the right way, they made adjustments, and it was a huge breakthrough in their marriage. Sometimes problems persist in marriage, not because the couple's not communicating. Sometimes they are desperately so. But they're not providing, not just the time, they're not providing the clarity so the other person can get it. Okay? So consider that. And again, don't set yourself up for a trap. Kind of like last week with the romance. Well, okay, I'll start romancing my spouse again when I feel like it. No, because you probably won't. When it comes to communication, initiating it, sometimes we'll say this. Well, okay, I'll start communicating again, you know, as soon as my spouse does. Don't do that. I say this all the time in counseling. Somebody's got to be the Christian. Hello? Hello? Initiate. You got to initiate. But consider these things. Because, again, this is very important. This is at a heart. You cannot have a healthy relationship, which is what a marriage is, without communication. And if you downplay this, then guess what? Oh, you might very well just tough it out and exist. But then you're going to end up like this couple. Watch this. A man and his wife were celebrating their golden wedding anniversary, 50 years. Awesome. Praise God. That's wonderful. And so they spent the day with relatives, friends at a big party in their honor, and then they obviously went back home again. So they decided before going to bed that they were going to have a little snack, tea with some bread and butter. So they go into the kitchen, and the husband opened up a new loaf of bread, and he handed her the end piece, the heel, to his wife, whereupon she explodes on him. She says this, for 50 years, man, you've been dumping the heel of the bread on me, and I'm not going to take it anymore. This lack of concern for me and for what I like, and on she went in the bitterest of terms, how he offered her the heel of the bread. And watch this. The husband was completely astonished at her tirade, and he simply quietly said, whew. But it's my favorite piece. Yeah. Bittersweet. Man, if you just would have communicated that 50 years ago, how different your 50 years would have been. I mean, at least they got it. But it's bittersweet, isn't it? That's what happens when we don't learn to communicate. Being married doesn't mean your life has to be filled with silent suffering and personal pain. It's just going to take some time. It's going to take some work. You need to learn to communicate. It sounds basic, but you got to give each other time. Sometimes you got to provide clarity. But if you do it, and you do it God's way, you'll have a marriage built to last, and you won't waste 50 years. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our study today. And again, as husbands and wives, God, we just pray that if there's any adjustments we need to make today, including the time or the clarity issue, that we do it. Because it's all scriptural. And all of your word is for good, so that we would be blessed in all we do, certainly in our marriage. And again, not just for us, but that even our marriages would be a light in this dark world, and that people would see us doing marriage your way, and they would be attracted to you, Jesus. That it would be a way to witness to them. And really, God, in principle, this communication study works in all of our relationships. It could be our coworkers. It could be our family members. It could be our kids. Help us, God, to understand these biblical principles so that we could become effective communicators, so that we could come back together again if there's been friction, like with Yodi and Sinkti. Because it doesn't just affect the two people. It affects the people around them. And in the Christian context, it could affect the church. It could affect the gospel. God, please, cause us to be effective communicators biblically today. And as always, God, if there's anybody here today that's not truly born again, may today be that day. We're here to celebrate Mother's Day. The ones who were used of you to give us birth, but maybe they're in need of a new birth. The need of being born again through Jesus Christ. If they're here today and that's the case, God, please, work in their heart. Draw them to you. Lead them to the prayer room. Have them talk to somebody to share with them how to get saved through Jesus. It's only through him and him alone, his death on the cross, and asking him to forgive us of all our sins, confessing him as Lord, and believing in our heart that you, God, raised him from the grave. That's the only way to be saved. May today be that day. But we love you and thank you for our study today. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free.
And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.